Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Kraut, and in this show, we're going to be discussing group policy scoping. I've been in the industry for over 20 years. I've done consulting with and teaching for the government, United States Air Force, Navy, Marines, Army, and companies around the world. If you want more information about me, check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions, please use the question comment box below. Let's get started.
So we have the GPO link, and a GPO can be linked to more than one site, domain, or OU. So we create our GPO. We have it. We have all the configuration that we want. Now we want to apply it to different server OUs. Now these server OUs will be in different other OUs, so it'll be childs of other OUs. So we can attach the GPO to those OUs. Linking a site applies the settings to the GPO to the object in that container. When you link a GPO, you establish a default scope. So what we're doing is we're saying, okay, anybody that's in this GPO is now going to be getting the settings that are within the GPO. Now the GPO link is, once the link is established, the clients will download the GPO. The GPO only download if the new or updated. It also depends if you have it set where you're going to force it that it always is always applied, even when there aren't any changes. That way we're making sure we're getting everything. The client caches the GPO to make the policy refresh more efficient, so that way it doesn't take up so much bandwidth. So when we're linking to multiple containers, what we're doing is taking that GPO and we're going to make a connection to each of the different OUs or the different sites or the different domains. So multiple objects, you can link to a single GPO to multiple objects. And when you make a change to the GPO, all the settings will apply. So deleting or disabling a GPO link, what we can do is we can delete it. And so what's going to happen is it's going to say, do you want to delete this link? This will not delete your GPO itself. It's not going to get rid of the group policy itself. All it's going to do is take away the actual connection to that OU. Now, GPO inheritance and precedence. When conflicts occur from application of multiple GPOs, say you have a bunch of GPOs that are connected to an OU, well, it's going to make a determination based on the precedence and also an inheritance. The GPOs on the top are going to trickle down the settings to all the other objects within that OU. So the GPO with the highest precedence will prevail. Smaller the number, the closer to one, has a higher precedence. So if we have a GPO that has a 1, we have a GPO with a 10, the 1 is going to win over the 10. So inheritance, the default behavior of the group policy, the GPO linked at the higher level container, lower container inherits the upper GPO settings. Policies applied in the sequence, starting with the policies linked to the site, then to the domain, then OU from top to OU bottom or down. So this is one of the things that you should understand, because this will be on the exam. So you want to make sure that you understand how inheritance works with GPOs. And later GPOs will override the settings of the previous. So the presence of multiple linked group policy objects, multiple GPOs objects linked to an object. The link order determines their precedence. So one of the things that we can do is to modify the actual processing of a GPO is that we can block inheritance. And what blocking inheritance does, you have to be very cautious when you use this, because what blocking inheritance does is it's going to block all policies. So if we were to put a block on the Disney OU, for example, it's going to block all the policies. So then what we will have to do is we have to do something called enforcing, and enforcing will break through that block. But you need to use this with caution. This should be done with care, and also it makes it difficult to evaluate inheritance and precedence, which that's what we use the RSOP, so we can see what's going on with the actual policies. Enforcing a GPO link, this is when you set a link enforced. The GPO takes the highest precedence. So it says, I don't care if you're blocking, I'm going through. The policy settings in the GPO will prevail over any conflicting GPO. Will apply to all child containers, even those that block inheritance. Again, you want to use with care because it makes it harder to go through and do the actual troubleshooting. Now, one of the other things that we can do is we can filter out group policy by using security filtering. And GPOs have an access control list. Remember the access control list, that's our guest list. There are two permissions you need. You need read group policy and apply group policy. If a person or a security object does not have read and apply, then the policy is not going to be applied to them. Requires for a GPO to reply, set security settings to filter groups. Object. So we can also filter GPO based on scope. There's two ways of filtering. Apply, remove the apply group policy permission from the authenticated users and determine the groups which the GPO should not be applied. Set the apply group permission for these groups to deny. Deny is going to take precedence overall. So what it's going to do is make sure that they're not going to be applied that group policy at all, even if they're in a group that says that it allows. So filtering GPO to apply to a specific group, what we do is we click on add. Then we have another way of being able to filter out or filter the scope of a group policy. We have what is called a WMI filter. That's Windows Management Instrumentation. And what it does is allows us to be able to query the different attributes that we do have for each of the different objects. So the WMI is a management infrastructure technology. It enables administrators to monitor, control, manage objects within a network. A WMI query can filter based on characteristics, RAM, the operating system version, the disk capacity, and a lot more because it's all the different attributes that we have for those different objects. So we can query this information. The WMI filter can be used with the GPO to scope out objects and software based on the OS version. It also helps the client to decide if the software will run, like having enough space or being the right version, having the right Internet Explorer, or having the different settings within the operating system. Picks a client that satisfies the requirements. If it doesn't satisfy the requirements, then the GPO is not going to apply. So when a group policy client evaluates the GPO, it performs a query against the local machine. The query comes back positive, then the GPO processes. The GPO, the WMI exposes namespaces which include classes that can be queried. The root slash CIM version 2 or backslash CMI version 2, that's what the namespace that we're going to be looking for doing things like the version, the space that's available on a hard drive, the amount of RAM, and so forth. So win32_operating system is what we'd be looking at right here. And so here's an example. So what we're doing is we're selecting star from Win32 operating system, where the caption is Microsoft Windows Server Professional, and the version is Service Pack 3. So we're making sure before we apply this policy that this policy or this object, the computer is going to satisfy the requirements. So that's what the WMI filter is. And you can see the namespace is root / CMIV version 2. So again, we're selecting star from the Win32 operating system. That's the actual database or the table that we're querying. Where the caption, we're looking for Microsoft Server Professional. And the version, making sure that we have Service Pack 3. So Windows XP. We're selecting, and that's how we create the actual, we're going to save this as a WMI query. Now there's three significant caveats. The command of the WMI queries can be challenging to master. WMI filters are expensive in terms of group policy processing and performance, and WMI filters are not processed by computers running Windows 2000 and earlier. But we're probably not going to have Windows Server 2000 and earlier, so all the other XP and up will be able to use WMI filters. So one of the things that we can do also is we can scope which settings are going to actually be applied through this GPO. So the GPO status is enabled. All settings disabled. We can also look at the computer configuration settings disabled, and also user configuration settings disabled. And really, when we're dealing with creating a group policy, we should either configure the computer sections or the user configuration, not both of them. So what you want to do is make a determination and then disable the one that you're not using. So if I'm not using the user configuration, then I'm going to disable it. If I'm not using the computer configuration, then I'm going to disable it. It makes it faster for processing.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can put them in the GoGo box below. You can also find more of my broadcasts. Just search the GoGo website. If you have an idea for a show, then let us know by putting the information in the GoGo box. It's been a pleasure speaking to you about technology. Thank you for letting me into your world. And have a great day. Bye-bye for now.